Thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's Wednesday. Welcome to the show. We're thrilled to have you. On yesterday's version of our show, Wendy smelled like oatmeal. I'm curious if you still smell like oatmeal. Do you?
Maybe.
You don't want to commit?
I don't know. I'm still having back spasms, but they're reducing in nature. They're like contractions. They're getting farther apart.
Yeah.
So the baby's not coming today.
Oh.
So I don't know if I'm going to need the oatmeal. I had it on the way in.
We should explain that the oatmeal smell comes from whatever heating unit
it's
you're using.
It's a bed buddy.
Yeah, made by Quaker Oats.
It's weird with the old guy on the cover.
Oh, it makes it more humanized.
By the way, I think that, is that old guy a guy or a girl? Is that a guy, right? On Quaker Oats?
Yeah, that's a guy.
You thought it was a girl?
There was a rumor. There was a rumor at some point that that was a woman, but
that
I never bought that.
That is not a woman.
No, it's a guy. It's a very handsome man.
I got to look it up. Who in the world thought it was a woman, Bill?
I don't know. There were rumors.
Well, I mean, some of the pictures of the Puritans.
Yes.
Could have been.
Yes. Just a rumor. All right, so you're using this heating pad, which is made of...
It's oats. I think it's husked oats, or I don't even know, or oat husks.
What's the advantage in that over some other non-oat based?
You have a heating pad that you have to plug in, and that's dry heat.
Yeah,
you want some kind of like
also
moist.
Your CB handle.
Don't say moist.
I know I don't like that word or coins. It's the oi.
Wow.
Epionica.
That's the same noise. Did your throat ever make that noise and you look around and go, whose throat is that? Oh, it's me.
Yes. I forgot what I was saying. It creates a moist heat when you heat it in the microwave, and it feels better. And
instantly?
That's what you use. Well, no.
Like instant oatmeal.
No, but a moist heat is better than just a heating pad.
Steve, what were you going to say?
It comes out with the little bits of last night's dinner stuff to it, too.
Tasty.
No, I always put it on a paper towel. I cannot stand microwaves. They are awesome.
Oh, don't say that.
People just don't clean them. I am so anal about that. Yeah. It's like if something's like you're making a lean cuisine at home, put it on a paper plate.
Yep.
Put it on a paper towel. Don't just put it on the carousel.
Right. The heat kills the germs, Wendy. Those things.
No.
You're fine.
It's fine.
And when you make nachos and you get some cheese that falls off the plate, clean it when it's hot. Don't wait 3 days.
Right. Remember the early days of microwaves when they invented the carousel?
Yeah.
And you would just watch it? You were amazed by that.
I remember the first microwave I saw, it must have been in the 70s, and it was people were just watching cupcakes being made.
Yeah. It was such a new idea that you'd have to stop and watch. It was like watching TV.
It was pretty cool, you have to admit. Yeah. You had one of the first ones in the nation.
When they weren't called microwaves, they were referred to as radar ranges.
Oh, I thought you were going to say easy bake ovens.
God, did I love that! Was my favorite thing, my favorite toy.
Yeah. Right, and then you were told not to stand too close to the microwave ovens.
Yes,
I still have friends that will not have a microwave in their house. They think it emits some kind of cancerous rays,
some gamma rays or something coming out of it.
Have they come up for their Y2K shelter yet?
No, my kids. It's funny you bring that up because my kids asked. I don't know where it came up, but they said, "Hey, did you and Dad freak out when Y2K was happening?" And Jim and I both looked at each other and said, we didn't really freak out, but we may have bought some extra water and cat food. Because I remember that New Year's Eve.
No, they did not have a cat, Steve.
I didn't.
You don't even have to, you don't have to ask.
But the store stores very well.
Right.
We did have a cat then, Declan.
Well, I've said this, but I spent that New Year's Eve at the WGN transmitter.
Just in case?
Yeah.
I was the guy who was going to be on the air from the transmitter if everything failed.
Ah, they had a contingency plan.
Yeah.
That's
called
excellent.
A loser plan. That's what it was.
You guys do draw straws or what? How'd that happen?
It was me and the engineers.
Did you have champagne?
Really?
I think we did have champagne after it ended. But
so for people who didn't live through it or forgot, the fear was that computers were not set up to handle the year 2000, and they would just turn themselves off or malfunction. So there were entire businesses built on safeguarding your business.
Because all the computers were built on 19-something.
Right.
Right.
So when it went to 2000, they wouldn't know how to handle it.
Right. But somehow, miraculously, I don't remember there being any incidents at all.
There wasn't.
Zero.
But
do you remember
never
companies
knew.
Would advertise that they would come in and they would integrate your computer system, and it would cost you a small fortune to bring them in to just safeguard your system, just in case.
It really seemed like it wasn't going to work, though. Yeah. I mean, when you have a two in front of everything, and prior to that it was always one. I could see where all of a sudden would it go back to zero. What I could see where people freaked out.
But you would almost hope that a society smart enough to invent these machines could figure out how to change a one to a two.
You know, the thing too, the transmitter site was a World War II bomb shelter.
Really?
Yeah, so you were so safe.
It was like, you know, crisis after crisis out there.
Wow. Wow.
But, I mean, really, for a minute, didn't you think this could potentially be bad? Airlines, everything.
That's one of the areas that did frighten me, is if there was a computer malfunction, how would airlines handle it? But I'm sure they were looking at it all day, every day, weren't they? They have to be. They didn't want that.
It was much like the Geraldo Rivera going into Al Capone's vault.
It was.
Which, God, that was so exciting to watch. And then, as an old bottle.
Yeah.
Good one, Geraldo.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got plenty of show for you, including Dr. John Duffy. He'll stop by later. And Sarah Tui Baker to the future championship
Could
Bears.
Could be.
All right, stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. So on Friday, where our show normally is from 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. to noon, our show will not really be our show. It'll be the WGN presentation of It's a Wonderful Life. And can I, just between you and me, can I tell you something? I'm a little nervous.
About what?
Well, the read-through is today.
Right.
And many of your favorite WGN stars will not be in attendance for the read-through.
Just Cochran.
No, Roe cannot be there. Anna DeVlantis cannot be there. They're at the United Center. They're going to broadcast tonight's Blackhawks game. So they're not available. Steve Cochran is, no one can find him.
I'm sure that this won't worry you as much, but I won't be there.
You're also unavailable, Steve. How come you will not?
Why do I have to be there then?
Well, you have to be there.
I just don't want to be there.
You just don't feel like it.
No, I have another job, you know.
Oh, yeah. Over at Sbarro.
Yes.
I love Sbarro.
The lunch rush. You got to be there for the lunch rush. So the purpose, for those of you listening who are not in theater, the purpose of the read-through, well, anybody, you do the read-through so that your principal actors know who says what, when, and where, and many of your favorite WGN stars are unavailable for the read-through today. So I don't know what's...
Didn't we do this before?
Yeah.
It's a little different this year.
Right. There's been a shift in the universe. There have been new people have come, old people have gone. So, yeah, it'll be fine.
You are worried about this.
Well, although there is an adage that says if the dress rehearsal is horrible, the show is going to go great.
Right.
People say that.
So this is a guarantee that the dress rehearsal is going to go terribly.
Right. This is odds on that we're going to have a great performance because no one's going to be at the read-through today.
How do you know if you're supposed to go to the read-through or not?
Did you
get a special email?
No. Well, today's read-through is just for there's like eight principal roles, Mary, so they need to be there.
Okay, gotcha.
And so far only two of them will.
You three. And me?
Yeah.
So what if you throw a read-through of three through and no one shows?
That's the problem, Steve.
I got to leave halfway through it.
You're leaving halfway through.
I'm kidding.
John Williams is in Mexico, so that I don't see that happening. We can't find Mike McConnell. No one. He's not returning phone calls.
Greg Jarrett, is he coming?
Greg Jarrett will be here. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So that's covered. So I'm sure it'll be fine.
Is it really just you and me and who else today?
Ernie.
All right.
The sound guy, Ernie. Who's playing the role of Ernie the cab driver.
I like how you did that.
Yeah. Well, it was easier. We didn't have to change any names on the script.
And how about Bert? Will Bert be there with
Bert
Ernie?
Will not be there.
Oh, who? They need to practice together.
Yeah, Bert and Ernie.
Oh, right.
Right. The cop.
Who's playing Bert?
For people who don't know, the cop in It's a Wonderful Life is named Bert, and the taxi driver is named Ernie, and that's long before any Sesame Street connection whatsoever. Now, here's an interesting side story. The role of Zazu, you know, of pedal fame.
Wasn't it Zuzu?
Zuzu, right.
Zazu is a restaurant in Hinsdale.
Dude, you wrote this show, you know.
I've rewritten the part of Zuzu to be Zazu, who is also the bird.
Zazu!
It's a Disney bird. All right.
So Zuzu's pedals.
Yeah. So Violetta is playing that role.
Oh, that's
perfect.
So
she said to me, she goes, why am I'm playing a six-year-old girl. Why? And I just, you can't, there's no, There's no answer to that. It's just you hold your hands up and you go, because.
Who's playing the older Zuzu?
Oh, there's no older Zuzu.
Oh, okay.
It's just one age Zuzu.
Just tell her she's maybe the closest of age.
She's the closest of age. And her, let's be honest, her voice lends itself.
Sounds
to,
young.
It sounds young. But she said to me, she goes, is this a big part? And I go, well, you've seen the movie, right? And she goes, no, is there a movie of it? She didn't know that there was a movie called It's a Wonderful Life.
She knew.
And that's when I knew I was old. That's the exact second that my brain said to the rest of me, you're old. You're talking to somebody who doesn't know that It's a Wonderful Life is a movie. She's never seen it. She's never heard of it. I go, it's on the Netflix. Put it on Netflix. Don't watch it in color. Watch it in black and white.
Don't confuse
Do
people.
Not watch it in color.
It's a great movie. I will be watching
Such
it probably tonight.
For inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took my script home last night.
Are you off book, Steve?
No, not yet. I didn't look at it. But
there's no off book.
Yeah,
it's a radio
play. You don't want to read. Oh, you guys are going to read it from the script?
Who got a script?
I think. <Uh-oh.
laughs> I haven't either, Mary. So. Uh-oh. It was emailed to
it
us,
says,
but
it's
I'm
supposed to come Thursday. The script.
Yeah, the scripts yes. are. Yeah,
that would be.
Well,
tomorrow.
I mean, for parts at your level, Mary.
Right.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
Wow. Wow.
See, this is supposed to bring people together, and it's just,
doing the opposite.
It totally is.
It's totally doing the opposite.
Last year, I had my knee replaced, and I listened to the craziness that was on WGN. It was like a variety show. I
yeah,
loved it.
That was fun. It was really fun to do.
I'm glad now that I'm back, we're doing a radio play.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure everything will be fine. I just, if I had my wish on this for the read-through, the people who are reading would be at the read-through. That would be, I know I'm asking a lot, but that would be better.
Well, it needs to be known that Bill Left put a ton of work into this, rewriting and adding characters, because as you were saying off the air,
there's 30 parts in the show, but there's 51 of us. So,
how are we ever going to manage 51 people?
Bill did it.
No, I know he can write it. I'm speaking for us 51. I don't know if we're capable of
right
such organization.
It's going to go long.
There's going to be some fighting.
It's not going long. We're starting the biz lunch at biz time.
Right.
Okay, you are snooty. I think you should take him out of the play. He can't go to rehearsal.
I can't do that.
He's worried if we go 1 minute over, which we do almost every day, and we're trying really hard not to.
My goal is for you to go 1 minute over.
Yeah, I guess.
Because then the end will not be broadcast on the air. Because Glink waits for no one, Wendy. If you have Glink in the room,
that's
Glink
right.
waits for no one. That's how it plays out. It'll be good. Everybody tune in.
Not Friday. Friday.
Yeah, let's do it on Friday. So
we
Friday,
should do the dress rehearsal on the
oh,
air.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That would not be good.
That would be better than the actual play, I think.
That will not be good.
And there would be swears.
So there will be a lot of swears. So normally, during a rehearsal like this, there's always one guy who can't show up. So you have somebody working on the presentation do their part. But today, there's going to be, there's
four.
Eight principal people, and I think there are only three of us that are going to be there. So.
I got to get out right at 3.
Oh, do you? All right. You got Glink coming in?
I do.
All right.
Think Glink.
I know.
.com.
It'll be fine.
All right. Well,
Friday, 10 to noon.
Yeah. Tune
Not
in.
A minute over. We'll get this plane down on time, Steve.
I have every confidence in the world.
Right, I have none. I have zero that it gets finished by noon.
We'll have to leave out, honestly, the best part of the show at the end.
Wouldn't that be a hoot?
That would be horrible.
Well, you're the writer. Why don't you write it backwards?
All right. I'll do it that way, like a This Is Us episode.
Yeah,
all right.
That's
It'll
good.
Be easy. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then a lot more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. You know, it's weird. We started out the show talking about Y2K because people were worried about computers.
Sure.
But now, as the computers have made it to the 2000s, people search a lot of things, and Google is my search engine. I don't know about yours. What's yours?
Ask Jeeves. Still using Ask Jeeves. Very popular.
You use Bing, don't you?
Sometimes. I mix it up. Search engine to feel superior to the other search engine.
I Google everything. And they unveiled its top searches for the entire year.
Oh.
And I think some of them are pretty exciting. Some of them I even included in the search bar.
You were part of it?
Some of them.
Yeah.
So these are the top trending Google searches of 2018, starting with number 10, Kate Spade.
Oh, yeah. her untimely death.
Yes. In June, she was found dead at the age of 55 in her New York City apartment in an apparent suicide.
Do you know, Wendy, are these the top 10 searches in the United States or worldwide, does it say? If it doesn't, I'm just curious.
Top searches of the year. Google narrows down the top trending searches in the world over the past 12 months.
All right.
A lot of tragedy this year. Stephen Hawking was the next, number 9.
Mm-hmm.
In March, Stephen Hawking died at the age of 76.
So what goes on? So you hear somebody has died, Kate Spade or Stephen Hawking or whoever's coming up. And then what is the impulse to want to know more about that person, their life or their death?
You want to buy their music.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, Kate Spade. What?
He's just kidding.
Because Kate Spade, when I heard that news, the first thing I did was Google search
it. But is it to find out how she died or to find out like what she's accomplished? What is?
Oh, to find out the whole, the update. I put it in my search bar and then you could hit news, images. I hit news and got the immediate story of what happened because it was shocking to me.
Yeah. I just wonder if that's what normally is the case or if people just go, oh, I've heard that name, but I don't really know what they've done in their life, so let's find out about them.
You know, for me, when it comes to Kate Spade, Bill, it might have been just to see what she looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a name I'd heard forever. Yeah. I had no idea what she looked like.
Yeah.
I liked her stuff.
Yeah, very talented.
So I knew her, and then I clicked on news right away because I wanted to see, oh, my God, she was so young. What happened?
And the former sister-in-law of David Spade.
That didn't excite me that much.
She's married to David Spade's brother.
Yes.
Was married to.
Number 8 in the Google searches for 2018, I'm afraid I can't pronounce.
Oh.
Because I'm lame. It's a rapper called Triple XXXTentacion. Somebody?
Yeah. XXXTentacion?
Say that again.
XXXTentacion.
XXXTentacion?
Tentacion.
He is married to David Spade's brother.
That's Bodoin Point.
He was shot dead in his car after leaving a motorcycle dealer in South Florida.
Oh, no.
His real name was Jassa Onfroy. He was awaiting trial for a domestic abuse case. He faced charges of aggravated battery of his pregnant girlfriend.
When did this happen?
This was in June, and this was one of the ones I didn't search.
I did not hear of this until just now.
If anyone knows how to say this, please help me. XXXTentacion.
Oh, that's possible.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh. Are all 10 of them celebrity deaths?
No.
No?
Here's number 7 is another one, Anthony Bourdain, because of course, was a big story.
That was almost back-to-back with Kate Spade, though,
wasn't
it? Yeah,
he was in June as well, apparent suicide. I thought he was, he was first.
That sounds right.
I think he was, because we're going up to number 1.
Yeah.
A non-death is number 6, Meghan Markle.
I could see that. I'm surprised that one's not higher.
I didn't search her. What was there to search? What she was wearing?
Just a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of preoccupation with her fashion trends, but just that most unlikely story of an American actress becoming, a princess in England. It doesn't happen very often.
You wanted to read about the wedding, you'd search her name.
I searched her dad more than her.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, her family's a little interesting, right?
That's a good way of putting it.
They're very interesting.
Well,
family.
They got married in May, so I guess that would do a lot of searches.
Yeah.
The number 5 search of 2018 on Google was Black Panther.
Oh, the movie Black Panther.
In January, Black Panther hit the theaters. It was the first black superhero movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Critics almost universally loved it. It was really good.
All right, so with the celebrities that died, I could see somebody saying, well, I've heard the name, but I don't know who that is. I'm going to read up on them, find out how they died, what they did when they were alive. But with a movie title, what do you search? Why would you search for that? Just to get reviews or where it's playing?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And you just hear, Black Panther broke it at the box office. You wouldn't search it to see what's going on, like why, what was so special about it, how much did it make? Hmm. Don't you have a curious little mind a monkey?
Yeah, I have a very curious mind like a monkey.
I'm like Curious George.
But he watches Entertainment Tonight every night. So.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. See, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Mary Hart's voice.
Not us anymore. You're fine.
Should we take a break? No, we don't need to take a break. Number four was Stan Lee. He died in November at the age of 95.
So my theory is, and this Stan Lee might prove it out, that the sooner you die, the higher you're going to rank.
I agree.
The sooner in the year. So you want to die in January or February to get more Google searches.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting.
The Google searches add up.
That's interesting. I'm sure.
He died in November, and he's number four.
Right.
But do you think he's bigger than the Anthony Bourdain or, you know, but.
He is bigger by two.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have it reversed.
We're going up to the number one search.
My theory is out the window.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's all right.
We all have these voices going. I can't wait till Friday's play.
Don't even.
George. Mac Miller is the number three search. In September, the rapper Mac Miller died of an overdose of drugs and alcohol at the age of 26.
So far, of the seven,
you're right.
Five out of the seven have been celebrity deaths.
Let's do one more.
Really?
Avicii. You don't know who that is either?
I don't think I do.
I didn't search this.
In now, these are worldwide, so this could be somebody who's more
Swedish
popular.
Swedish DJ. Avicii.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a big one. Because I didn't know who he was, and
he was a
really
young guy.
Yeah,
28.
Oh yeah.
He had health concerns.
DJ, as in plays music at clubs on the radio.
He would fill up stadiums.
Really,
like mixing and not a DJ. They don't call it's radio hosts now. They don't call you DJs on the radio anymore.
My business card still says DJ, so I'm going to go with that.
And the number one Google search of 2018.
What could it be?
Goal!
It's
the World Cup.
Oh, World Cup soccer.
You
sure,
and I did not
see that.
Search that either.
What about Aretha? Did you say Aretha?
Aretha
was
got
that
no
this
mention.
Year?
She got
she
no
died
respect.
This year? She got no respect.
I think
respect,
she did die this year.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Well, this is worldwide.
She was in People magazine in the tribute section.
That's upsetting.
In June, 32 countries headed to Russia to compete for the biggest prize in international football, the World Cup. After a remarkable victory over Croatia, France became the 2018 FIFA World Cup champion.
Isn't it odd that in a world that is so...
Say it like the movie guy.
In a world... I can't. My voice is too deep for that. Isn't it crazy that so much is dominated by politics in our everyday life, and yet there wasn't a single political story in the top 10 trending searches on Google? How can that be?
I am shocked.
That is that's insane. I don't get it.
Searches for the World Cup saw the biggest year-over-year spike in 2018 due to both the popularity of the event and the fact that the tournament only occurs once every 4 years.
Yeah. Was Germany the winner?
France.
France was the winner?
I just said.
Oh.
With their remarkable victory over Croatia, France became the 2018 FIFA
You just said that now?
World Cup.
I was knitting.
They're looking at doing it every 2 years now.
Oh. Oh.
I don't care.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I know that's terrible.
I hope they don't name you as commissioner.
Yeah, they won't, nor
that's,
you.
That's crazy. All right. Why don't we do this? We'll take a break, and when we come back, we have the other categories for Google searches.
Good.
Some very strange... You won't believe who the most searched after actor was. I cannot figure out
Kevin
why.
Kevin Hart.
No, it's not Kevin Hart. But it. I kind of understand it, but it doesn't...
I can't wait to find
be.
Out.
All right, we'll get to that next.
We were talking about Google searches, and we ran through the top 10 Google searches, and if you missed it, you can Google search the top 10 searches of 2018.
All right, so they have broken this down over at Google into two categories. One of them is United States-based searches, and one of them is global.
Oh,
all right?
Okay. I see why you asked me that earlier.
So in a lot of these categories, there's a lot of bleed over. There's a lot of carryover between global and U.S., but in some of them, it's very strange. For instance, in the actors category, let's start out with global. Noah Centineo is number five, Wendy. I have no idea who Noah Centineo is.
I like when
I've
you
never
speak
heard
exotic
the name.
Like that.
I've never heard the name. I don't know who he is, but he was number five. Bill Cosby, for reasons I think we can figure out on our own, was number four. Pete Davidson.
Oh, definitely. I'm surprised that's not number one.
Isn't that strange that... Maybe.
His whole life has changed because of Ariana Grande.
It has, right?
He's featured way more in sketches now.
Yeah. But 2 years ago, the world probably was not familiar in any way, shape, or form with Pete Davidson. And then now, currently, globally, not just in the United States, but in every pocket of the world, people are going, I need to know more about Pete Davidson.
Why don't you date a celebrity? Or
my wife would be furious. She'd be so angry.
Why don't you hang out with a celebrity?
I could do that.
Because then you could get us Google searched.
All right. I'll start tomorrow.
Worldwide. We'd be bigger than FIFA.
We'd be way bigger than FIFA. Number two, this is a surprise. The number two most Googled actor, and I'm going to use that term very loosely here, is Logan Paul.
Oh, God. The YouTuber who did crazy crap. No.
He just does these little videos, right, on Vine.
It's on YouTube.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah. Oh, he's, you know how many millions of, Bill, look up how much he makes annually.
From being on YouTube and stuff?
Yeah, he has millions and millions of followers, and then he gets money for it.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of crazy stuff this year.
But he's never, like, when you say actor to me, I go, a guy who's been in movies or in plays or
things
on TV.
Things have changed, Grandpa.
But he's just on the internet, right?
Yep.
He just shows up and videotapes himself.
His brother, Jake Paul, is also Logan Paul. He's on YouTube, and... Oh, my God. He makes so much money. He's 23 years old. And
when you say so much, I know you mean millions, but do you mean tens of millions or hundreds of millions?
Let me try and find his net worth while you're... I'm using the Googler right now.
As we speak.
It says $14
million. $14
million. I mean, isn't that...
For Logan Paul.
Okay. You don't consider him an actor, then?
Not just based on the money. If somebody says actor to me, I go, what is he acting in? He's just acting like an idiot. Does that count? The number one most Googled actor in the world is Sylvester Stallone. And this is this year. This is 2018.
You know why?
This is not 1977.
Because he was on This Is Us.
No. Is that why?
I bet.
He's in the new Creed movie.
Oh, yeah.
Creed 2.
That, all right. That explains it.
But just would being in another Creed movie, would that make people go, I got to know more about Sylvester Stallone?
Yep.
That list of the five actors globally is similar but not identical to the ones in the U.S. only. In the U.S., the number five spot goes to Michael B. Jordan, very talented actor.
He is what?
He's also in the Creed movies, but he's
in a bunch
of stuff.
Right.
He's in a lot of stuff. Pete Davidson is number four. Number four in the U.S., but number three worldwide, Pete Davidson. Sylvester Stallone drops to number three in the United States as opposed to number one globally. Bill Cosby jumps up to number two.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to tell you that the number one most Googled actor in the United States is Logan Paul.
God, we suck. I'm serious.
We should not have been given computers.
No.
We don't know how to use them properly.
I wish Y2K would have taken things down. Oh, I'm embarrassed to be an American sometimes.
I'll run through just another category or two for you. Do you prefer the U.S. searches or do you prefer the global
searches? I like
searches? U.S. is better?
I like to know how bad we are.
All right. Food-wise, the five most Googled foods in the United States are cheesecake, number five, keto pancakes.
Keto.
Keto pancakes. Is that the assistant of the Green Hornet?
No, that's keto. Keto is a diet where it's pretty much no carbs and all protein, and you can eat bacon, and you can eat fat, and a jar of lard.
Well, for a nation that keeps Googling Logan Paul, that's what we should be eating.
Lard?
Lard and bacon. It's perfect for what we're Googling. Number three, I don't know if this is a cartoon or a food, CBD dummies. What are those? What does that mean? I have no idea what that
know.
Is.
We are old.
I'm going to have to Google
Chaz,
it.
Chaz, do you know?
What are CBD dummies?
No idea.
All right, good.
I watch that on Saturday mornings after Super Friends.
CBD dummies?
CBD all caps, dummies all smalls.
Bennett just told me they're weed gummies.
Oh, is that why?
Oh, the cannabis.
Boy, look at us in America. We're eating bacon
so
and lard.
I am so not cool
we're
anymore.
We're smoking gummy bears and we're
eating gummy
we're
bears
eating
with
gummy
weed
bears.
In it.
Yeah.
And, you know, digestibles.
Number two, romaine lettuce.
Yeah.
Why are people Googling that?
Are you kidding?
Because of the salmonella? Is that why?
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, if somebody tells me something has salmonella, I don't need to Google it. I just don't eat it.
Find out where the source of it was. Of course.
Romaine
lettuce.
Yeah, but it was from California.
Case solved. I won't eat any of it until...
I love romaine lettuce.
Not until I get a clear from...
Wendy seems to...
She obviously has some shares in romaine lettuce,
yeah.
Steve, obviously. And the number one most Googled food for 2018, I swear, I live in a universe that is parallel to the one I grew up in. Unicorn cake.
What is that?
I don't know.
Was that have pot in it, too?
It must. All these do. Romaine lettuce doesn't have salmonella. It's got pot in it, Wendy. Don't smoke your lettuce. What's unicorn cake, Jasmine? Should I know what this is?
I have no idea what it is. Right. I'm not hip either, so.
All right.
Well, you're younger than us. That What's your excuse? Anything. At least we're old.
Yeah.
What's unicorn cake?
I don't know what that is. I almost don't want to know. I'd rather live my life not knowing.
So, yeah, I just searched unicorn cake, and it looks as if it's a cake in the shape of a unicorn.
Oh, it is.
I mean, there's all kinds of hits on it. Way to make a unicorn cake, 70 best unicorn cake pictures.
Who's by? Just little girls?
17 amazingly easy unicorn cake ideas.
I don't like unicorns.
Well, is Logan Paul behind the Steve?
It could be. I don't know.
Wow. All right. So I've never.
Didn't unicorns go out of style? Are they back in style?
You mean once we realized they didn't exist?
Yeah, I guess. Make a narwhal cake. That'll be better. And
great
they existed.
Idea. Solid idea. All right. We'll take a break. Steve will give you the news. Then Dr. John Duffy will join us.
Oh, you have something to read. Give
he's
me back
you
that.
A uni- he's bringing you a unicorn cake, Wendy. Oh, I just found out.
Well, that's
gonna
nice
be fun.
Of him. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and we are joined by our friend, our show psychologist, Dr. John Duffy. How are you, Dr. Duffy?
I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I get excited around the holidays. Bill loves Christmas. We're doing our big radio play on Friday. But the holidays can be very bumming for people.
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's the whole season. So we've come up with a name of a disorder in the last 10 years called seasonal affective disorder, which has the acronym SAD of all things.
That works out perfectly.
Right, doesn't it?
Wow.
And the idea is... in the end, we have this dichotomy between this press to be out there, having fun, throwing parties, going to parties, buying gifts, getting together with family and friends, while our bodies and minds in part are telling us, it's getting cold, it's darker, more hours of the day. I think I want to hole up and just kind of sit down, read a book, maybe feel a little bluer than I normally do, get those winter blues. So I think part of SAD is working through that dichotomy.
But John, people get this who live in warm weather climates as well. In California, it runs
rampant.
They do? So why?
They
do. What's going on there?
They do. Not as frequently, but they absolutely do. So
yeah.
Part of it is just this cycle that, you know, no matter where you are this time of year,
yes.
in our hemisphere, I should point out, no matter where you are this time of year, your inclination naturally is to slow down and take a breather.
Yeah.
But the culture says press on,
you know,
press on. And not only press on in a normal way, but come up with resolutions and press on harder come the first of the year, right? In other words, like, you know, go to the gym or, you know, learn to play the guitar or something harder and
Stop
bigger. Stop smoking. Yeah, something formidable.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I love the holidays. As a kid, obviously, you love Christmas. That's the best time of the year. I don't think a lot of kids, when we were growing up, got sad. Then it was all of a sudden you had so much stuff to get done. Like, I got to do Christmas cards. I got to get decorations up. And in the last 4 years, I kind of just said, you know what? What gets done, gets done. And I've been able to enjoy my holidays much more.
Well, that feels really healthy, right? Because it's almost like throwing a wedding in a way where you get these expectations really, really high that things go perfectly. And then the holidays become a letdown because things never go perfectly, right?
You know?
So if you're willing to say, I'm going to do what I can, but I really want to be in the moment and enjoy these days. And if that means like that second tree doesn't get up or the garland doesn't get up on time or something like that, that's okay.
But so much of it is based on... expectations that are either not met or not adequately met. So I know that we live in a society where expectations mean everything, but
yes,
shouldn't we all just lower them just a tad this time of year?
Yeah, for sure. Right? I mean, yeah, we have unrealistic expectations, right? I think part of it is I was watching a few minutes of A Christmas Story, and something about that feels so Americana idyllic to me, and there's part of me that thought, I want to create a Christmas that feels old school like that.
Yeah.
And the truth is, hey, we really can't totally do that, right? You know, like, we're in a different day and age, and we have to accept where we are, and that, you know, whatever happens, happens. And sometimes our kids are probably going to be on their phones when we don't want them on their phones. And sometimes, you know, they're not going to appreciate every single gift the way we want them to, or the way we intended.
You know what I always liken it to is the experience at Disneyland or Disney World, which is the happiest place on earth. But if you walk around, you see a lot of families at odds.
Misery.
Yelling, screaming, biting. And a lot of it is because in your head, you've painted this idyllic picture of what this is going to be like, and then it's not always like that.
Yeah. I think part of life in general is accepting what is and recognizing that the imperfections of your plan are typically what you will remember and will become part of the fabric of your family and your memories, more so than like, that Disney trip went perfect. I don't remember exactly what happened. I remember Dumbo. I remember, you know, you might remember a few specifics, but when things go way, you know, sideways, we tend to remember that. That tends to be part of the fabric. That's what we laugh about at Christmas dinner, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard if you have relatives in different places. We always go see my brother after Christmas. We go to Peoria and we do all these different things. And there are always so many things to get in order. And sometimes it's like you got to call an audible, like maybe if there's a snowstorm, we're not going to go on the day we were supposed to. But I just think it's better to not be so strict in your rules.
Yeah.
Because when you have like a certain regimen you've got to follow, and if you deviate from it, there's anger, there's depression, and I don't know, maybe it's just because it's hard to get things organized, but I think it's okay to wing it sometimes, isn't it?
Definitely. And you know, we have these pragmatic rules that lead to emotional problems, right? So if we let go of like things have to go a certain way, we're a little gentler with ourselves and we can accept like, okay, this is a joyous time of year. Sometimes I feel a little down too, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll accept that. And you know, if you can accept that range of emotions instead of fighting and thinking like, I'm supposed to be happy all of December, all of January. I've got to be happy this whole time.
Right.
It's not realistic anymore.
So when creating the seating arrangement for your dinner table at Christmas, do you want to put all the angry, bitter people together, or do you want to spread them out around the table? What's the better way to do it?
But my bias is to create to change the kids' table idea altogether and have an angry,
the
bitter
angry
table.
Yeah.
That's you the can word. Visit there when you need to.
John, now you said something interesting, and I'm going to say I do not have a seasonal affective disorder. I am not typically depressed, but there are some days, like you look outside, you wake up, it's dark, it's at 4:30, it's dark, and I sometimes kind of like to be bummed out. Is that normal?
Yes. Yeah.
Honest?
Honest. I feel the same way you do. This is something in my client work I try to focus on a lot, is that, you know, like that bummed out element of life is part of it. You know, like, you don't want to just experience one thin layer of emotions. You want to experience a range of emotions. And that's how we maintain emotional health, you know, is by really allowing ourselves to feel whatever we feel at any given point in time and not fight it with everything you've got and force yourself into being happy. I'm with you. I like a gray, rainy, cloudy, cold day.
Yeah. You know, maybe you laze around a little that day, sit on the couch and watch something on Netflix, and it's okay to do that. That's not unhealthy, is it?
Not at all. In fact, a colleague of mine thinks of this in terms of soundtracks, and he said, sometimes you want a Bruno Mars soundtrack all day long. Sometimes you go to the darkest Simon and Garfunkel album you can find.
Right.
And that's a perfectly reasonable soundtrack for some days. Yeah.
Well, Chicago, we live in the Doors, Lana Del Rey universe most of the time, don't we?
it's a little gray
sometimes.
That's right.
All right, more with Dr. John Duffy in just a little bit. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. Dr. John Duffy is our guest. John, this next topic is, it's really sad and tragic, and I know it's holiday time, but it's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and they're talking about it in the newspapers right now, which I am super grateful for. It's suicides on college campuses, and Northwestern is kind of at the forefront of finally making this a very public discussion. And this is something that colleges, by and large, have been keeping under wraps for decades, in large part because I think PR-wise,
sure,
it doesn't look particularly good. But Northwestern has had 4 reported suicides in this past semester.
Wow.
And very quickly, Cornell and Penn came along and said, boy, we've got similar numbers. One of them is bigger.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, okay, so what's going on here? What do we do about it? What's, you know, what are our options here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how are they handling it? What is the best way for a school like Northwestern to handle a situation? 4 in a semester is just
and how
abysmal.
Do we stop it? What is it? Is it pressure? Is it too much pressure on these kids to perform?
Absolutely. It's a lot of pressure. There's also this there's this difference between the expectation of what college is going to be like. A lot of these are freshmen and sophomores, younger kids. What it's going to be like, and we all kind of culturally lay out this expectation that this is going to be the best 4 years of your life, right? So you go in expecting that, and it turns out, well, sometimes this is really lonely. Sometimes this sucks. It's really hard to catch up academically, and I'm not even sure where I'm headed here. So I think you kind of get lost in this, like, I'm not sure what my life is about. And if you get that kind of suicide fog thinking where you can't think clearly, some kids take it that one step too far and lose their lives.
Most schools have a program in place by which you can see a counselor immediately. Every school wants to afford you that, right?
Virtually every school has a CAPS program, counseling and psych services. What they're talking about doing at Northwestern and a few other schools is really expanding that program. And what I would love to see happen, if I'm being really frank and honest, is I would love to see every student, especially in the first couple of years, have a mandated visit to a therapist in one of those programs once or twice, especially in those first few semesters.
I think that's a great idea because the kid has to advocate for themselves if all of a sudden they're feeling like, I'll admit, I went to Illinois State. I was anxious to get away from home. When I got there, it sucked. I just didn't like it. My mom was kind of strict growing up, so I said, oh, well, I'm going to drink and do my thing. But it wasn't fulfilling. I didn't like it, and I kind of was embarrassed to tell my mom I wanted to come home. I think we are so worried about disappointing our parents, but I don't know. I hope times have changed where you can say, listen, I don't want to be a disappointment, but this is not right for me. Can't we talk to our parents now?
I think it's gotten worse. I think the stress has gotten heavier. I think parents have higher expectations of their kids. A lot of us want to see a very impressive bumper sticker on the back of the car, you know? And so we press our kids, you know, just hang in there, you'll be fine. And normally, oftentimes, that's the case, and that is fine. But to your point, Wendy, you know, a lot of kids aren't. And aren't sure who to turn to, they end up more than anybody else turning to fellow students. And that's why I think a meeting with a counselor is important, just to walk fellow students through, like, okay, if somebody comes to you and they tell you they're desperate, if they tell you they're suicidal, here are your options. Because we don't want that to be the responsibility of a roommate or a best friend.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough and it's unreasonable. But that tends to be the first person who hears about somebody who's having a hard time.
So if you are the roommate or a friend of somebody on a campus somewhere and you're seriously worried about that person, what's your move? Do you inform the school? Do you somehow try to get in touch with the parents of the student? I don't know what you would do there.
The first thing I would do is contact the CAPS program, and they'll walk you through the steps. So it can be anything from calling 911 to we, the CAPS program, will handle that, to we'll reach out to the parents. But what they'll tend to do is take that out of the hands of the student. And that's important because
this is
not the responsibility of any student to be responsible for somebody else's emotional and mental health.
And I'm sure that the roommate feels some degree of responsibility, and it shouldn't be on their shoulders, obviously.
Absolutely. And too often, when kids are having a tough time, they'll ask their roommate to hold it in confidence. Don't tell any. We can't tell anybody about this. And And my plea to roommates is that is a promise you can break.
Yeah.
And you need to
save a life.
Yes. Now, here's something. And my kids, one just went away to junior college, so I haven't had that experience yet. Bill, I know your daughters went away.
Yeah.
Is it a bad thing to exchange parental phone numbers with a roommate, like just in case of an emergency, or am I just a smotherer?
No, I think it's a great thing. And that's not just for this issue. But that can also be for, I'm thinking of things I've dealt with in my office, that can also be for that really rough night where it's like, okay, your son or your daughter has overindulged here, what would you like me to do? And you can even say, here's a video, you know, show you where he or she is right now and what state they're in. I'll follow your lead here, mom and dad, walk me through it. And then you kind of eliminate that responsibility on a 19-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
Although, do you want to be a roommate that, you know, calls mommy or daddy of your roommate? Because, you know, I just would think it would be in case of an immediate situation, like they were taken to the hospital or something. It would be nice if the roommate had the parent's number to call and say, listen, I think you should know this.
Definitely. Specifically for like emergent situations, you definitely don't want to be the roommate who calls every single time something negative happens or a grade drops or
they
something like that.
They stole my hair curlers.
do something about it. Right. You want kids to be responsible, but not responsible for each other's well-being.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense. John, are you on at all between now and the holidays here?
So I will be on tomorrow night with Paul Farvar between 7 and 10.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You guys sound good. You're having a good time here on WGN.
We're having a good
sounds
time.
Like it.
Yeah.
Good.
Excellent.
Great to see you. That's Dr. John Duffy. Listen to him whenever you can. And, of course, publicize the podcast that you do with your wife.
Absolutely. So our podcast is called Better. Myself and my wife, Julie, she is amazing, and she has keener insights than I. So I encourage you guys to listen.
Great to see you. Have a great holiday.
Thanks so much, guys.
It's Dr.
Thanks,
John Duffy. A little break and then some news. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Kim. All right. I have to make a confession. I do not make Christmas cookies. I do not get involved in any Christmas cookie exchange.
I'm very disappointed in you. Very disappointed.
Here's why I feel really guilty saying this, because it's something... I get so offended when you won't eat my food because I have a dog,
right.
And you think dog hairs everywhere.
I know your
everywhere.
Dog helps you make the food.
No, the dog doesn't. Sarah Tui is here, the baker for the Bears, and I just want to say this. I want to make my cookies how I want them, and I don't want to exchange with other people because I don't know if their cookies are going to be as good as mine.
I hear you.
You do? You understand
this? Yes, I understand it. And when you go to those cookie exchanges, too, a lot of times then you're stuck with all these weird flavors, and then they're put on one platter, and then the other cookies get... pick up the flavors of the other ones. And that's why I made mine individually wrapped for you guys today. So
separate your cookies.
Right.
Don't be putting cookies together on a platter, right?
Right, exactly.
That's the key. All right.
Now, Sarah, you have been the baker for the Chicago Bears for how long?
Since 2012. So this is my seventh season.
Mm.
Yep.
All right, what changed this season? Because we like to give you credit.
Say it's you.
No, it's not me. It's them. If you've looked at this team, they're having so much fun together. They genuinely like each other.
A different group going
is.
Now.
It's just a different time right now. And I was listening to pregame last weekend, and one of the players was being interviewed, and he just said, you know what? Going to work is not like going to work. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
We all... get along. They all like each other. They're just meshing well.
Yeah.
And you can see it on the field. And it's just a fun time to watch them, I think.
Bill has in the past blasted the Bears. There.
Yes.
I got it out there.
Often.
And wouldn't even watch the games as of last season, right? You weren't watching?
Yeah, couldn't do it. It was too painful to watch.
Yeah, okay.
But this year, I started out, I watched that first game against Green Bay, and they lost, and I went, here we go again, and I was wrong.
You were wrong.
I was so wrong.
I could tell, because there was heart and soul in it, and it was so close. And every game they've lost this year has been so close.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, you and I say that, but the coaches and everybody else says close doesn't count.
I know. A win's a win, but hey, I'm just happy that they're where they are right now, because... it feels good to be a Bears fan right now.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. What's your prediction? You think they'll go to the Super Bowl?
Well, of course I think
you
that.
Think so. Yeah.
But I know nothing. But yes, I'm always going to say, yeah, they're going to the Super Bowl.
What a defense. They just crushed the other team.
I know.
Yeah.
It'll be fun, because I wasn't planning on going to the game this weekend, but then I thought, you know what? I should be at that stadium when they beat Green Bay. I want
to
be there.
And they are going to, because Green Bay is sucking big time.
I know.
I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah, I'm just excited just because it's been a fun season.
So you're not normally there on game day. When do you bring the snacks? You make these incredible treats.
Oh yeah, they get the treats on Thursdays. So it's well before the game. Right. Yeah. And like if the game was on a Monday, they'd get them on Friday. So it's always a few days before the game.
Because if they ate them on Sunday, they'd be bloated.
Right.
They wouldn't want to
exactly.
run.
Exactly. This is just a treat at Halas Hall on during Thursday. The week every Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's just like I said, it's just been a fun tradition that they've had at Halas Hall for several years.
Which bear eats the most snacks?
I wish I could tell you that. I don't know.
She's not there when they, you know.
Oh, you don't know.
I'll try to get the scoop on that.
Find out. Yeah. I'm just curious.
You have a blog that's pretty great. It's bakingforthebears.com.
Right.
A bunch of recipes, and we'd like you to talk about some of the cookies you brought up. I'm not a baker. I know you said you really weren't, but guess what? You are now.
Yes.
And some of these things that you brought up, Bill, you had, what cookie did you have that she made?
What were they? Had the colored dots on them. What were those?
Oh, did you say?
The gingerbread.
This?
A gingerbread flavor.
So the gingerbread. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's the gingerbread cookie bar.
Oh.
So, you know, at the holidays, gingerbread is your traditional flavor of Christmas and the holidays.
That's your pumpkin spice of Christmas.
It is.
The gingerbread.
Isn't it?
Oh, okay. So, it's everywhere, too. You can get them in your lattes and your coffees. But I've never been a huge fan of gingerbread. I mean, it just never excited me. But I saw this recipe just a couple weeks ago, and I've been wanting to send it off to the Bears, and I'm going to tomorrow. It's a gingerbread cookie bar. So you don't have to go through all the rolling out and cutting out and, you know, rebaking. It's one and done. You throw the cookie bar bread in the oven, and then it comes out, you cool it, and then you have this fantastic cream cheese frosting that goes on top. I think that really is such a compliment to the ginger, because I've never been, like I said, a huge molasses gingery person, but that cream cheese frosting, in fact, I'm going to start using the frosting from this cookie recipe on all my red velvet cupcakes. I think it's that good.
Yeah.
It had a great ratio to butter, to confectioner sugar, and to the cream cheese. So
I know this will sound crazy because you do this for a living, and I toy with it, but with gingerbread, because I make it every year at Christmas.
You do?
Yeah. Use less molasses, because I'm the same way. The molasses is so overpowering.
You have to be careful with
cut
that.
Cut it in half.
Yeah. Did you think those were too molasses?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
Nope.
How cute is this? Wait, this is a story I never knew. You make gingerbread cookies?
What are you getting
gingerbread
my cookies, exchange?
The wreath cookies, which you made. I do smaller ones. Yours are, that's a big honking wreath cookie that you've made.
Well, so I don't really make these. And you talked about them when we were at Tree Time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to make those for Bill, because you were talking about how you loved them.
And those are just a Rice Krispie cookie, but you use cornflakes instead, and then
green food coloring.
And when you make them, you just make them sprigs, right? Like sprigs of holly, a wreath.
It's a small circle. Yours.
So you don't actually like cut out the middle and.
Yeah, I do that.
I know. I just do the sprigs. He does little baby wreaths.
Yeah, baby wreaths.
Okay.
Yep.
Because the hardest part, I thought, to this recipe was actually getting them formed before they start.
Oh, yeah.
You stick to your fingers.
Yeah. But the sad thing is for me, neither of my daughters like them, and my wife doesn't like them. So if I make 100 of them, I eat 100 of them.
I know. That's the problem.
You know?
That's the problem with all treats.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, you can go to bakingforthebears.com, and you're going to share all these recipes.
Yes.
I want to bring up the one I had, which are they called nut balls?
They're called butterballs.
Butterballs. What's me and the balls? I'm sorry.
Hey, it's the time of the year for balls. I mean, deck the halls with all the balls.
Yep.
Because there's so many ball recipes out there.
Right. And now these are butter balls, and I've seen them, like Italians make these, and they're just a pecan.
So what it is, it's just butter, flour, and then your choice of almond or pecans. I use pecans because that's what I love. And then some confectioner sugar. You literally just mix that up. There's no egg. Throw them into balls, throw them in the oven for only 18 minutes, no longer than 18 minutes. If they start to get brown, then you're going to be upset because they're going to be dry when you pull them out. But then when you pull them out of the oven, the key is to really roll them well in the confectioner's sugar, more confectioner's sugar. So it forms like a glaze of powdered sugar over it. And they're fantastic. My mom has been making them for years, or she was making them for years. And I never made them until yesterday. I was like, what was that ball recipe that mom had? My sisters were all like, oh my God, it's the butter balls. It's the best. So that's what I brought to you today. And it totally says happy holidays, I think. I mean, it just reminds me of Christmas growing up. And then I gave some to my cousins yesterday. yesterday too, and they're like, "Oh, this says Christmas to me."
So good.
So I think it's definitely like the staple cookie of Christmas.
Would you put them in the category of anyone can make these? They're so simple.
Yes, anybody can make them.
Yeah,
anybody can make them. The key is just watch them, because even the recipe that my mom had handwritten said, "Do not let them brown," with an exclamation, because it looks like you're pulling them out underdone, but they're not.
They look raw.
Yeah, but that's the way they should look. They're just a teeny bit dark.
You don't
want
them crunchy.
Right.
If you leave them in too long, they'll be crunchy.
If they start to brown, then they're going to be crumbly and dry.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no more than 18 minutes, 15 to 18, depending on your oven. They're super simple. That'll be on my blog. I'm going to get all these up probably by tomorrow morning,
okay,
and I'll
perfect.
Send out. And then, yeah. So that's a fun one.
What's on your blog, the Ultimate Magic Bars? Why is that the best cookie ever made in the world? And is it a cookie?
It is. It's a bar. So have you ever heard of the magic bars where it's got like the butterscotch chips in it and coconut
and chocolate?
One, yes. Those are good. But this one, my favorite blogger is, she's one of my favorites. Her name's, she goes by the Brown Eyed Baker. And that's where I found the salted caramel chocolate chip cookie recipe. Everything I've made from hers has been fabulous. These in particular, because I'm not a huge coconut fan, but her pictures look so good. So I printed the recipe. I brought it to work, and everybody loved it. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't use butterscotch.
Like butterscotch.
Yeah.
So this would be perfect.
It's a very distinct flavor, and a lot of people don't like butterscotch. That's what I loved about this recipe. There was no butterscotch. It was sweetened condensed milk, and then she drizzled caramel, the prepared caramel sauce, just like the Smuckers at the Jewel.
That you put on an ice cream sundae?
Right. And then you just do that over the condensed milk, and then the coconut, and then chocolate chips. And it was on top of a very simple shortbread crust. So it tied in perfectly. I'm like, this is a delicious little bar.
Yeah.
Even if for people that don't love coconut. I don't hate coconut. I just never loved it, but I love those bars. And especially
good.
If you like the magic bars, go for the Ultimate Magic Bars. And I posted that last week, because that's what I sent to Hallis Hall.
They are so lucky. Honestly, no wonder they're winning.
That's it. You're motivating them.
No, they're. Oh gosh, I don't want to take credit, but I'm having so much fun. It's so much more. Like it's just a good time.
Have other teams offered you a head coaching position? Because that's what they do. The Bears' defense is looking good right now, so they want Fangio to coach somewhere else. You're going to get an offer or two before this year's over. I feel it.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's take a break, and then more with Sarah Tuohy, Baker for the Chicago Bears. Stick around. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.
All right, her name is Sarah Tuohy. She's the baker for the Chicago Bears. On Thursday nights, they get their treats. And you had Brian Urlacher love this type of cookie. It was like an Oreo ball, another ball.
Oreo ball.
Okay.
Right.
Brian Urlacher's Oreo balls.
That's right. I was calling them Hall of Fame balls.
Yes.
But the Christmas twist that I put at Christmas time is I use the Trader Joe's O's. They're peppermint flavored sandwich
those are
cookies.
Good.
Yes. And then you can use your favorite kind of white coating or even dark coating chocolate. And then I sprinkle a little peppermint or crushed candy cane on top, and they're delicious. And then it just like it says Happy Holidays.
And because they're Urlacher, now there's a little bit of hair on them that used to be there. No one knows why. Those cookies from Trader Joe's, those peppermint ones, those are the real rare ones, right? That
right.
they get in and people clamor to get them.
Exactly. You can only get them at Christmas
yeah.
or at holidays.
So good.
Yeah.
What is wrong with me? I don't like peppermint.
You know,
I really don't.
Oh. There's nothing wrong with you.
Butterscotch or peppermint,
yeah.
Wendy? Oh.
But like, I know people love candy canes. I would never go for a candy cane over
really?
Like a
no.
Tootsie Pop.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
So you need to go to bakingforthebears.com. You have some wonderful recipes that are up here. And very briefly, in case someone's just listening for the first time that you've been on with us, your brother worked for the Bears.
Yes.
The person who was making treats for the Bears, which I never even knew that position ever existed, was leaving, and he said, "Hey, why don't you do it, sis?" Is that
right.
basically it?
Essentially, right. Right.
With little to no background in this sort of
right,
thing.
Right, because it's just a fun little tradition that they've done at Hallis Hall.
Yeah.
And it started back in the day. Like, I think the woman before me was doing it for 17 years, is
wow.
what I heard. And it started with just the scouts were in town, and they said, you know what? The video department needs something welcoming for these guys, because so many of them are young, and they're new, and they're away from their families.
Sure.
So that's how it started. And Dean Pope, I think, he works in the video department, and he had a friend that could do it. And then I took over in 2012 and just kind of kept it going. So I'm proud to be part of the little tradition, because I think it's a really nice tradition that they have there.
Do all teams in the NHL have somebody in this position, a baker? Does everybody do that?
In the NFL, no.
No, in the NFL,
well,
no?
I don't know. I don't really.
I don't know. They do.
I don't know anybody else from any other teams.
Oh.
I should find out.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just curious. Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's a fun thing. And but like I said before, the everyone in the Bears organization has been so kind to me and so nice and complimentary. And so, and my passion has always been in the kitchen. And I thought for a while I wanted to be a baker once I figured out how to bake. And I realized it's just a passionate hobby of mine. But I love doing it for people who really love it and appreciate it. And this only lasts the 17 weeks of the NFL season.
And then you go back to normal.
Right. Then it's
like, don't you miss it right away? Or do you need the break in between?
I like having the break. But then I, like, in a month or so in February, I'm kind of like, oh, this recipe looks like, because I continue to follow all the bloggers and the websites. Yeah. And I mean, I've always loved just looking at recipes. I remember when I out of college, my first job, my friend Amy was working at some stressful job. She called me and she's like, what are you doing? I'm so swamped. I'm like, I'm looking up recipes. I'm going to have a dinner party tonight. You know? But that's my thing. I love looking up recipes. And now it's more baking, because I've always got Baking for the Bears in the back of my mind, of thinking of fun, new, exciting treats.
What does your kitchen smell like right now? If I went in your kitchen, what would it smell like?
It would smell like ginger.
Would it?
Yes. I'll like take the that. Gingerbread. That was the last thing I made.
Oh, that's so nice.
Are you going to be making the Cody Parkey goalpost cookies? Are those going to be?
He's doing well. I'm so proud.
He's redeemed himself.
Yes.
But that's hard to do, is hit the goalpost. I thought that could be a cute little cookie.
Yeah, that would be cute.
What about this Khalil mac and cheese?
Oh,
what do you
God.
Think about that?
I already brought up that. The Khalil macaroons.
Oh, those would be great. Do those.
I thought about making some macaroons for you, but just not the intricate kind, the sandwich kind.
There are
just
two kinds of macaroons, aren't right. there? Because there's a new thing I've seen. They do look like little sandwich cookies.
Yes.
Those aren't the macaroons I'm used to.
Right. And the coconut ones, a lot of times here at the holidays, you'll see the coconut ones with a little cherry in the middle.
Yeah.
But those were always the ones that we grew up on. And then those macaroons, I think they're like a French pastry. They seem to have like,
they've taken over for the original macaroon.
Exactly. Now, I haven't seen any holiday flavored ones lately.
I don't think they do holiday flavored macaroons.
I don't think so.
I don't know if they do.
Yeah. But it seems like that's really taken off. You can find them anywhere now. You can find them at Whole Foods in the freezer section. So, but I think they're pretty difficult to make, you know, because it comes the sandwich part of it is all egg white and an almond flour that you have to use.
Do you like eggnog?
I do love eggnog.
Ugh. All right. In the past, I know Wendy's not a fan at all.
So
she makes noises that one.
It's like a milkshake.
I make an eggnog pie. That's so good that when people eat it, they go, you didn't make this. That's like the biggest compliment you could pay me is go, there's no way you made this.
How does, what's in it? So eggnog, obviously.
Yeah. I'll send you the recipe. Because once you have it, and then I altered it to also make, I do a Bailey's pie as well.
That would be
similar.
Good.
That's really good.
That would
good.
Be fantastic.
The problem is that a half a piece and you're looped. That's the one problem is watching which relatives fall over after they eat the pie.
I was telling Jasmine, I was going to tell you guys that just reading all these recipes and looking what the trends were right now for the holidays. In 2019, I read one article that's saying that exotic donuts are going to be a bigger and better.
Sure.
Like, right now, we see the maple glazed with bacon.
Right.
But another trend for 2019 is going to be the alcohol-infused desserts. So, and it's funny, when I was in Syracuse, I saw these donuts that had like lager in them. Like they had the lager and then the donuts right next to them.
Really?
Yeah, it was a local brewed beer
like
out there.
Like a beer donut.
Yes, it was a beer donut. It looked really good, but I think this article is pretty accurate, where I think we're going to, because, you know, you see all these microbreweries or these like whiskey, there's so many different whiskey distilleries and that.
Right.
And I think, and my cousin was like, yeah, well, think about the Derby Pie, the Bourbon Derby Pie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a classic. It's been around forever.
But I thought when you bake with liquor, it kind of bakes out of the system.
Yeah, it can. I mean, I think it does. That's what I was wondering, too. Like, do these bakeries that are planning on making alcohol-infused desserts, do they have to have a liquor license?
Right.
I mean, because that's a lot of liquor.
That's a good question.
I don't know what the laws are wherever you are, but
well, with the Bailey's pie, sir, you don't bake it at all.
Oh, you don't?
You mix it in with like
so you really get the
like pudding with, it's essentially vanilla pudding with Bailey's used as a base. So
you're
not baking it out at all.
I love a good Bailey's on the rocks.
Ah, so good.
Bill, as the year is winding down, we're learning so much more about you.
Yeah,
you watch
domestic.
The View every day.
Yeah,
you
there.
Make gingerbread maker.
Yeah,
look, thank Billy Homemaker.
Yeah, that's me.
I love it.
Yep.
Well, you guys
Billy
can do
Crocker.
A recipe. You can do recipe swaps.
All right.
Sarah Tuohy is here, baker for the Chicago Bears. You can follow her blog for various ideas, bakingforthebears.com. What's your favorite Christmas cookie of all time?
Oh, I think it has to be these butterballs now.
They're pretty good.
Now that I made them. But I do love the toffees. There's so many different toffee recipes out there. I wanted to make some. I didn't get a chance to. But buy yourself a thermometer, a candy thermometer. And I was always intimidated by it, but I got one. And these recipes are not that difficult. I made some peanut brittle here. And I mean, it's not my favorite, but, you know, you can spend so much money at retail buying tins of this stuff at the holidays. Make it yourself. It's so much more fresh. It tastes good. You can make a tradition with your kids.
I think people appreciate it more, too, don't you think?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And it tastes better. Yeah. I mean, my cousin was like, I just bought a bunch of this. Yours tastes better. I was like, thank you. It was the first time I tried it.
Nice.
And you literally just sit there and watch the pot boil for 40 minutes until it gets to the right temperature.
Yep.
And there's no stirring or anything. So,
well, easy. We thank you for bringing everything up. You do a wonderful job. We hope you have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. Same to you guys. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
You go to bakingforthebears.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.